Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hello and welcome to this latest edition of the Presbyterian Church's podcast. It's great to have you with us wherever you're listening from today. In this episode, we're going to take some time to think about the discipleship of children and how to help them to be confident in their faith. We all in the church, as parents, leaders, and church members, have a role to play in the discipleship of children to encourage them in their faith and support families as they grow in faith together. I'm Ruth Bromley, PCI's Children's Development Officer, and I'm delighted to be joined by Ed Drew, Founder and Ministry Director for Faith in Kids, an organisation based in the UK whose aim is to support and encourage parents to be confident in sharing their faith as they raise their children, and also to resource the local church to thrive in their role in the discipleship of children as they grow and trust in Jesus. So Ed, thank you so much for being willing to come and chat to me on this podcast. You're coming over a little bit later in the year to join us at an event, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. But could you start by telling us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, maybe who you live with, that sort of thing?
Happily. It's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me. My name is Ed Drew. I'm the Ministry Director of Faith in Kids. So that is, I oversee the resources we produce, the training materials we use, the training we run. And we are a team of 11. And most of us live around London. I do in southwest London near Wimbledon, which is the place everyone's heard of. I live in the uglier side. And I'm here with Mary, my wife, and my three children who are aged between 18 and 10. And one has just become an adult and left school last July. And it's going extremely well and God is extremely kind. And I find that a very strange milestone to have reached.
Oh, wow. Yes, I'm sure that is a fascinating part of parenting to have hit at this stage. We'll not talk about that right now, though. But you founded and head up the Ministry of Faith in Kids. And I know, obviously, you've got this team of 11 who are involved in that. I know what Faith in Kids is, and some of our listeners will, but lots may not. So could you tell us a wee bit about how Faith in Kids came about? Like, how did you come up with the idea? When did it start?
Yeah, I'd been working in a church in southwest London as a kids and families minister. And I've been doing that for over 10 years. And in that time, the church had grown and God had brought a lot of families to us. And by having done this for 10 years, I found that more and more people were asking, what are you doing and can you help and what materials are you using? And I don't believe we were doing anything radical. I'm sure anyone who's part of a children's and families ministry in a church knows it never feels under control. It never feels like you've got enough leaders. It never feels like you're doing much well. And so increasingly, I was trying to just encourage people to keep on doing that old story and some wisdom and some insight. But it was happening more and more. So when I thought it was time to leave that job, I wondered, is there a job here of supporting other churches and families to do this thing that I had seen done and I had learned from families? And I want to be clear, it is just simply, how do we offer Jesus Christ to families in our churches, and how do we encourage parents to take that story home with them so it's a feature of their everyday life? So it's tempting, if you're an expert, which apparently I've become, people might think you come with some methodology that's going to radically change and improve and fix everything. And I think that can particularly be the case with children, because if you're around children, it usually feels messy, disorganized and chaotic, because that's the joy and wonder of working with children. So I want to be quick to say, I don't come with a six-step flawless guide that will fix everything, but we've been going now 8 years and we're growing because families and churches are finding it difficult. And we're trying to listen hard to what is needed And the particular thing we're trying to help with is, what's the overlap between church and home? How do we get that partnership to really fire, so that parents leave church on a Sunday feeling like this is a week for the Lord, and I know a conversation I could have with my children this week? That's what we're trying to do.
Absolutely brilliant. And do you know what? That's such the heart of the Presbyterian Church, what we want to do as well. Do you know, it's that idea of supporting parents in what they do at home and teaching the Bible as well as we can in church, and doing that in conversation and in relationship with each other. So, you know, it's such an important part of discipleship, and how we can support the vows we make at baptism and things like that, and how we help families. On your website, the aim of Faith in Kids is to see confident parents. So I want to be a confident parent, and I know lots of other people do, and a thriving church. That's what we all want to be, part of thriving churches who raise children who trust Jesus eternally. Now, Faith in Kids supports churches and families in how they do that. What sort of things do you do in Faith in Kids that help to do that? Like, if you were coming to my church, what could you provide for us to help us in that?
The first thing is to say what we're not trying to do. So we are not trying to develop a team to go into every church. So we believe that we should not be trying to replace parents. We're not trying to make a whole world of videos so the parent could just put their child in front of a screen and it'd be done for them. Because I don't think that's the way God has made our families. We produce a few videos that we say might help, but we want the parent to feel more confident. So the first place parents normally find us is we have a podcast for parents, and we have a podcast for the whole family to listen to together. So the idea there is walking with parents through the normal mess and confusion, and how does Jesus speak to this situation, whether it be your kids are playing sport, or your kids are playing games on their computers, or they've not got any friends at school. We're just trying to, each episode, walk through normal situations. And how does Jesus speak into that? What is the opportunity for us to see his good hand at work? And then that one for the whole family, maybe you're in your car, they're about 20 minutes long. It's essentially a family Bible time, because we find families are usually lack the confidence to have a go themselves, or lack the time, or are nervous of what their children might ask, or have never seen it modelled. So we're just trying to open up the Bible, four verses. My co-host Jam writes sketches for a living, for comedy sketches. He knows a bunch of actors, so there's a little bit of a drama telling the story from the Bible. There's a bit of a comedy sketch shining a bit of a different light on it. I give a 4-5 minute talk and then throw it into the car. Here are four questions for each age range. Why don't you have a chat amongst yourselves? And look, the feedback hits the mark. Every time I meet a family who enjoys them, it just warms my heart, because that's what we want to do. We want to make a family feel like it's more manageable bringing Jesus into the center of the day. And then for the church, the first place most churches find us is free downloadable resources, usually for Sunday school, but also for all age talks, for holiday clubs, for outreach clubs. And we're just trying now to try and get podcasts that also go alongside those resources. So if your children are doing it in church, why don't you go home and listen to a podcast? But we're always trying to work out, how do we get the partnership to fire? How do we get one to feed off the other? And that's what we always want to be hearing from churches and parents about. What would make the difference?
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you for that. Now, you talked about resources. And at the start of July this year, I happened to attend the launch of one of your resources, which was the Christmas resources. And we, you know, by the time this is released, it'll be October. And July seemed very early to be doing Christmas, and yet the planning heart that I have loved it. And everybody loves a resource. And just because Christmas is coming up, before we think about talking a bit more about discipleship of kids, can you tell us a wee bit about the Christmas resources that you have and how that can help congregations and families to think about how to tell the Christmas story really well in what you have.
I find it very funny, Ruth, that the thing you have just said about Christmas in July would make all of my team laugh, because I can't really get my head into Christmas till November and cannot work this out at all. But most of those we serve want it in July. And so exactly what you're saying is so common. I think it could be something particular about those who work with children. I think they're often a bit more organized than the average bear. So it's a common story. This year, we are adding to one of the suites of resources that we've got out already. And it's The Adventure of Christmas. So over time, we've put out three sort of packages of resources for Christmas, trying to hit different markets. By market, I just mean age of children or context. So one is based on Lego, a sort of Lego Christmas story. One is based on a sort of graphic comic called The Adventure of Christmas. And then one is more aimed at sort of toddlers and under fives. They're all on our website, free to download. This year, we're particularly looking at the wise men. Can we just bring that story out again? I think it is a brilliant story. The story of these people from a far off land who had no right at all to be wondering about the one born king of the Jews, who met this evil king who wanted them to come back to tell him so he could put an end to this king. You could not make this up. It is such an incredible story. And then out of their coats come extraordinary gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. So that's the story we're looking at again from this graphic novel, The Adventure of Christmas. And there's a little sort of comic tract to go with it, to put in the hands of every family who visit. And the goal must be, again, every Christmas, if you're a part of any church, it's not simple to come up with a new, creative, engaging idea for a bunch of families you might only see once a year. How can we pray this year God does that work of saying to a family, go on, come back in January because this king grew up?
Yeah. And I want to encourage anyone listening to go and look at those resources. Last year we used the Lego ones and I loved them. We are big Lego fans in our family, so we built all the Lego stuff and we built it with the kids in our church as well. And I want to encourage you that about how useful that was in telling the story. But I've looked at the stuff, the new stuff for this year, and I want to encourage people to go and look at it. Faith and Kids provide these resources free of charge, and they're just great to be able to, like you say, tell the Christmas story in a slightly different way. It's the same story, we just tell it in a slightly different way. But let's think in November, when you might be beginning to think about Christmas ahead, you're coming to visit us for a couple of days. And we're running another one of our events, which is called Starting Strong. It's got the tagline of building our children's faith. And often when we run an event in terms of children's ministry and the development of their faith, it's either for children's ministry leaders or for parents. But this series of events that we do annually, we want to do something a wee bit different. And we invite church leaders, children's ministry leaders, ministers, elders who are part of congregations to come together, as well as parents within congregations. And Ed, you're going to come and speak to both groups who will be in the same room together. And they're going to hear what each other is being encouraged and challenged to do in terms of the discipleship of our children, so that whenever they go back to church, they know what each other's role is in that supporting and encouraging each other. And hopefully the idea is to help us all be on the same page and have an understanding of what's going on. And our theme for this year is thinking about, how do we raise children as parents and in the church who have a faith that is confident? And hopefully that's something that parents and churches both desire. And sometimes we don't really know how to go about it, or maybe completely what the Bible says about what each other's role should be. And Ed, maybe this is a really big question to ask, But why do you think it's important for both sides, the parents and the leaders, to hear each other's side of the coin, if you like, in the discipleship of our children?
We did a piece of research with some church leaders a couple of years ago, and we were trying to understand. We had a project that we wondered if this was going to be helpful, and I found it really striking that as we spoke to church leaders, that there were some really consistent messages we heard, and one was, "Please don't think we don't want good families. We don't want to encourage parents to raise their children in faith. In other words, don't come to us believing we're not on board with what you want." And I found that extremely helpful. Now, clearly, I didn't go in thinking it was the opposite of that. Church leaders are extremely busy. Church staff are extremely busy. They're not looking for more to do. And and they're also not looking to be told the value of a child's faith or faith in a family. So I first want to clarify that all the research we have done and conversations we have had is church leaders are passionate about this, and they have a clear vision for their families and the children in their church. And I think what's interesting is when you ask those church leaders, though, do they think the parents are on board, the figure is much, much lower. So they don't have the same confidence that parents are clear on the vision for the church or for their families. And I think that speaks of you're using the word confident. It's a word we use a lot, which is parents don't feel confident. So the reason we talk about confident parents is it's not that there's more to know, it's not that there's more to do. It's do you feel confident the Lord has your family and there is a part you can play already? You don't need to go away and do a course. You don't need to wait another 10 years. You're not waiting for the expert to walk in your front door. You love your children. You trust Jesus. There is a great work to be done, and you can do it. And there is time for you to do it. So as we talk to those groups together in the room, church leaders, kids workers, church staff, elders, and parents, I think there's first of all a huge reassurance to say you all want the same thing. This is not an adversarial relationship. You all want good for the children in your church. It takes a church to raise a child. So perhaps we start by listening carefully to each other. Perhaps we start just by reassuring each other we want the same. And then perhaps we just ask each other some questions about what might help and what do we find difficult. So I think that's normally the part we end up playing, is facilitating a conversation. But already I wince as I say these things. We don't want to patronize churches. We don't want to patronize those who lead churches. We are not coming. We don't believe we're coming to the rescue with some key resource or research that'll fix it all. We are mainly coming to encourage and to inspire, to sell some stories of what normal good can look like. And I think to encourage people to go again. I think it's quite bruising being a parent. Often there's a bunch of guilt in there. There's a bunch of inadequacy and a lack of confidence. For most of us, most of our life, we can do it. And parenting for most people is the thing in their life they can't do or they feel they can't do. And I would argue it's the part of our life where we're clearest we need Jesus.
Yeah. And isn't it that's, you know what, if that's what people take away from this, isn't that the most important thing to know? That this is the role that we most feel, probably don't feel as confident, but do just need Jesus in the middle of it, for our kids. We don't want to give too much away about our event in November. I want to hold a wee bit of anticipation there. But what's the one piece of advice that you might give parents and leaders as we think about instilling confidence in children? Have you got a piece of advice for them that you might dangle a tease for what we're
Now,
going to talk about in November?
again, it will be profoundly disappointing what I'm about to say, but I'll it is simply, do we trust that God is big enough for our children? The reason I say something so incredibly obvious is I was talking to someone just yesterday who spent his lifetime working with families, particularly teenagers, and he says so many conversations with parents are marked by a heart that is afraid. In that, to be a Christian parent of a teenager is to be marked with a sense of fear. Fear that my child is about to rebel, fear that I am overbearing, fear that I'm underbearing, that you know, my child seems to be rejecting Christianity. Should I be firmer, harder? You know, I was told God was powerful, but he doesn't seem to be doing what I need him to do in the life of my teenager. Every season of life as a parent feels baffling. And we love our children with a sort of heartbreaking degree. There's an ache we feel for our children. And therefore, sometimes when it doesn't quite go right, we grab our local church and say, you're not doing what you should be doing. And as a church leadership team, maybe there's a sense of our parents aren't doing what they should be doing. I think we have to look each other in the eye and say, our God is big enough. Our God is good enough for your children. He has promised it will be the case. It's disappointing that this is the level of thing I'm saying, but it's also reassuring. I'm saying this because I do believe our faith in some ways is most clearly seen and tested in the lives of our children. Because most other things in our lives we can fix, often in our own strength. We cannot fix our children. So I think parenting and how we care for children does become a measure of where do we believe the strength and the fix lies.
And you know what I think I find, both as a parent and as a children's ministry leader, I find it incredibly reassuring that you're not giving me something or giving us something huge to have to think about in terms of this. It's just that reassurance of knowing that we just have to trust that God is big enough, because he is big enough to help us with this. And obviously in November, we're going to chat a bit more about this. People can come in and hear a bit more, the reassurance that that's what this is about. And we're nearly finished our chat as we're thinking about this. To finish our podcasts, we normally ask our participants to share a verse or a passage that has spoken to them. And I wonder if you would share a verse or passage which for you helps when you're thinking through the idea about building confident faith in children, which helps them to trust in Jesus for eternity. Is there something that you often share, or just personally that you have, that just really helps you with this?
Let me read Psalm 100, which is beautifully short, just five verses, and just listen out for how God is over all the earth today and how it is expressed that God will always be over all the earth. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. A way of measuring the goodness of God is to know that his love continues through all generations. So we look at the babies being carried into our churches. We look at the toddlers hairing around, and we say, the Lord will show his faithfulness to them. We are certain of that. We know that when our efforts are done, there will be another generation growing up who will say of the Lord, he is good. So teaching our children one of the reasons we do it is it just reminds us God has got this, and it is not on me, and it is not on my effort today, and it is not on our church today or my parenting today. He has promised to be good when I am long gone and this generation are enjoying his goodness again.
Oh, wow. Ed, thank you so much for joining with us and sharing a little bit with those who listen to our podcast about this really important topic. Just a little reminder for everyone listening that our Starting Strong event is on Thursday, the 20th of November in High Street Presbyterian Church in Hollywood. It's a free event, but it would be really helpful if you booked a ticket just so that we know who's coming. And why not think about gathering a carload from your church and both leaders and parents and come together. And more details about the event and how to book can be found at www.presbyterianireland.org/Starting Strong. And you can keep up to date with Starting Strong and other events on PCI's various social media channels, and also by signing up to Equip, PCI's email, which provides up-to-date information each month on training events, programmes, resources and more, which are available to you and your congregation. You can sign up for that email at presbyterianireland.org/equip. We also have Children's Ministry and Family Ministry Hub, which gives you access to information about events and resources useful for your ministry or in your family. And these can be found at presbyterianireland.org/children and presbyterianireland.org/family, respectively. That's all for this episode. Thank you again, Ed, for chatting to me and to everyone for listening. We hope that you can join again for the next episode. But until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.